Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Global Gaming Business Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jess Marquez, and our guest today is Paul Gordon, Senior Vice President of Sales at RYMAX, to talk about how his career path led to the gaming industry, RYMAX's evolution over the last 20 years, and some of his favorite and least favorite brands and products. Loyalty programs for both patrons and employees have become central to the casino industry's marketing strategies. And few figures in the loyalty space have seen and done more than Paul Gordon, Senior Vice President of Sales at RYMAX. Gordon has seen the industry and its tastes evolve over the years and says it's exhilarating to keep pace with new trends and developments. He and I spoke via Zoom in May. Paul, it's so nice to see you again. It is early afternoon for me, later on in the day for you across the US in New Jersey. How are you doing today, sir?
Great. New Jersey's good. It finally warmed up. It's brutally hot today, and no more snow, no more cold. So I could stick in New Jersey for a little while and not go to Vegas and California to get away from it. So.
Well, as we were just talking about before we started, the abundance of wildlife in New Jersey, I'm sure, is rejoicing at the impending spring season. I'm sure we'll catch a, behind you there, we'll catch some antlers and maybe a few bears and lions and tigers and such.
I don't think people realize how many bears we have and how many different animals we have roaming around New Jersey. They think it's all, the turnpike, but yeah, no, it's the Garden State.
That is for sure. Well, we have talked several times over the last few years about the industry, specifically about loyalty, given your position at RYMAX. But I thought to myself when I was putting together this interview, why don't we take a step back and let's focus on you. Let's focus on the human interest, the personal side of this industry. You're one of my favorite interviews, and I think you're an interesting guy. So I'd love to learn more, a little bit more about the Paul Gordon story and the RYMAX story, kind of intermixed there a little bit.
Now, do we just lose everybody, you think?
That sound you heard was the clicking. It was everybody clicking off of everybody away.
Exactly, right.
But anyway, so let's get into it. So you've been at RYMAX for a fair bit now, but if we go back, you don't have to go line by line, I'm sure. You don't have to give a full biography synopsis, but let's just go run through a bit of your career. How did Paul Gordon get to the point where he was sitting across the virtual table from me this fine morning? How does one get to that point?
That's a good question. So, I actually, when I got out of college and I was a political science major, I had great visions of going into politics and all that stuff, and then realized that maybe I wanted to go in a different direction.
Sure.
I was always a marketing guy, and so I'll talk about stuff that, quite frankly, anyone that was born before 2000 probably is not going to know what I'm talking about. But I joined a company called Conagra.
I'm just before that, by the way. Before you
So we're
start,
going
I'm
to
just
test you.
before that. So I'm good. I'm good. I'm just before.
We're going to test you a little bit.
Yeah.
So Conagra was a photo imaging company, and we sold film, if you remember, film and cameras and all that. But we were a tertiary brand. The big guys were Kodak, that had 80% market share. And for those of you who today don't really even know what Kodak is, Kodak in its day was like Apple. They were gigantic. They were the imaging company, Canon on the camera side. And so I joined there, and from a marketing standpoint, you had to really be creative because you didn't have the market share. You didn't have the marketing dollars, and you didn't have the brand awareness. So how do you compete? And so I tell a lot of people, actually, when they come and they say, like, in career, we'll start out and they always want to be at the premier company that's there. But when you're defending your number one position, it's a lot different than when you're trying to carve out a position. And so my career was really finding ways to do things and make it different. And I'm going to just give you a couple of examples, again, going back to film. So back in the day, you actually put a roll of film in a camera, you took a picture. And if you go to your grandparents' photo album, you're going to see very important events of very well-dressed people. You're not going to see pictures of food. You're not going to see selfies with your tongue sticking out. You're going to see really important stuff in their life, whether it's vacations or, communions, bar mitzvahs, whatever it is. And they took the picture and they had to wait for it to be developed, right? So that was really what that was all about. Well, there's a paradigm shift. And of course, it then went to digital and then ultimately went to the phone. So when we were trying to get film in there, the research that I did was that women primarily purchase film, and they primarily purchase film in food stores and drug stores. And so I did a promotion with ABC Daytime. And I use the again, for people who remember this stuff, people used to watch soap operas. They would watch All My Children and General Hospital and One Life to Live, and they used to videotape them, and so they would videotape the show, come back, and at night they'd watch it, and they would zap through the commercials. So my position was to get some artists from the shows, create the commercials. I shot it on video versus film. This way, it looked like the TV show to stop from zapping. And one of the commercials, I hired this young kid who I don't know whatever happened to her. She was brand new. Her name was Kelly Ripa. And she was one of the first people in my commercials, along with Walt Willie, John Callahan from All My Children. And that got us distribution. In the other areas, like for instance, the mini labs where you brought the film to be processed, I saw an opportunity because ours was what was called washless. You need plumbing. I was able to put it on cruise ships. And so the cruise ships, and if you've ever taken a cruise or anybody that's listening to this thing, it's almost impossible not to leave with an 8x10. It's a high gross profit category there. So my career was always trying to find different places to go and to build the business there. Because if you're going to go head to head with the market share leader, you're going to get your brains beat in. And you're not going to have enough money to spend to even compete against that. But if you can find little areas there, you can grow. And so the business grew tremendously. We did real well. We got that distribution and we initiated trial. You have to have a good product. So the quality was there, but you had to get somebody to take it off the shelf. So that's where my career is all about, is always like, what motivates people? What's going to make people in this business now, in the casino, what's going to make them play more? What's going to make them visit a little bit more? What's going to make them be aligned in a saturated market to that casino versus the one that's across the street? And so that's really where the career started. And then I've been here at RIMAX for 18 years. And it's a fun business because what I was able to learn from being in sort of that tertiary market, I'm able to apply here. And we talk to so many different segments of the business. So you and I always talk about the casino business because obviously that's what your platform is. But we're in every vertical you can imagine. So we're in the airline industry, we're in the financial industry, we're in the pharmaceutical industry, all again with incentive programs, whether it's for employees or for consumers. And everybody wants to be recognized. Everybody wants to feel part of a community. And what I like best about the casino business is that it really is one of the last sort of community experiences. Because everything is so solitary now, right? Everybody's on their phone. They're on their phone and they're texting and they're doing things and all that. But when you go there, the same people are sitting at the same machines or they're eating at the same restaurants. And they still sort of have that skill of interacting with other people, which is really great. When they come into communities, they create new jobs. They need more cops. They need more firemen. They need more schools. The infrastructure. They're going to build more condominiums or houses. And so I love this industry from that standpoint, and it's just really great to, sort of take my experience and bring it forward to this.
It's so interesting, and as you were saying that, I was thinking back to my experience growing up in Reno, in the sense of what I always tell people. Some people will say, "Well, you're quite young in terms of like the land-based casino crowd, or how are you so familiar with land-based casinos?" And I say, "Well, I grew up in Reno, and further, casinos weren't necessarily just casinos; they're the cultural centers of town, right? So if I wanted to meet up with a friend, or if I wanted to go to a restaurant, or a movie theater, or an arcade, or et cetera, a golfing range, et cetera, et cetera, those are all at casinos, at least where I grew up. So it makes total sense. I definitely agree. One thing I'm curious of is, what made you make that switch from the imaging world into RIMAC? What was that transition like?
Again, going back to the technology, the paradigm shift was that silver halide film cameras, all that basically went away.
Sure.
There's still Konica is still very much in the copier business, some other things, but not nearly as attractive. And quite frankly, somebody who worked for me wound up working at RIMAX, and they were looking for somebody to head up the three sales divisions, had recommended me, and I went over and talked to them. And I like the fact that it's privately held. I like the fact that there's not layers of management. I like the fact that the employees are very much, they have a stake in how things are run. And in this company, everything from the warehouse to customer service to the merchandisers, the buyers, the IT guys, they're all here. And so you can make a decision and impact the company, hopefully favorably each time, but impact the company very, very quickly. And that then translates into how you can then make the business, better. And so that really was what it was all about. And again, when you're trying to figure out, like, it's very easy to sell a product that everybody needs. The toughest thing that we have is to convince people that they want to invest in a loyalty program, because there's anxiety, right? There's a little bit of like, well, what's it going to take to run this program? What's it going to cost me to run this program? And to be able to deliver ideas that are wrapped around brands that are really second to none. It's all top tier brands. It's Apple. It's Michael Kors, et cetera. It's fun. It's a fun business. And there's no one that's not a target for what we do, including you.
I was about
What
to
do
say,
you do for, what do they give you for your anniversary when you're there?
nothing much. I mean,
Right?
another, yeah, exactly. Definitely not a shopping spree, as I've seen, from what you guys post. Definitely not that. So I'm definitely jealous from that
You got to
perspective.
talk to Roger or somebody over there. You should be
Def
getting something nice.
somebody. Well, we're UK owned now, so I'll have to wait
All
until
right.
later on today until the time change. But one thing I w this is just a quick question, but do you still have, and this is top of my mind because I just read an article about this, about how the world of analog cameras and film cameras is becoming very niche again, and it's kind of like popping back up. Did you keep a store
Oh,
of
yeah.
film, or do you have, you got that locked away,
Well,
got that in the safety deposit box for later on?
I'd be concerned about the film because it does have an expiration.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
not quite sure how that would hold up. I still have a lot of film cameras, but it is interesting because it does come back. Just like last year, and this maybe is a little fun fact, but more vinyl albums were sold than CDs last year. Where you couldn't even sell a vinyl album 10 years ago. And of course, downloads are still a primary way of getting the music. But things do have a way of going like that. And the other thing is that there's a creative element with film that is not the same as digital. And so I think it's still taught in colleges. I think it's still something that people are very much into. But I am going to tell you the truth. I went on a safari to Africa 2 years ago with my wife, and all of my photos are on my Apple iPhone. So you didn't need the big lens, you didn't need all the equipment, all that kind of stuff, because they pretty much drive right up to the animals who are used to that at this stage of the game, and the quality is exceptional. So I kind of started to see that go away a little bit.
That is funny though, but it almost sounds as though it's like, in a way, it's like, if all this doesn't work out, who knows, maybe you'll be back to the film world if things, if things kind of go in the cyclical nature again. Who knows, that might be the next
Yeah,
bonanza. Things come around, things have a way of coming around again,
it is fun, and there's an art to it. I mean, there's truly an art to the aperture and the shutter speed and the film speed you're going to use and the lens and all that stuff. It's not just simply point and shoot. The real photographers that are out there, and even if they're shooting digital, there's a science to it. So yeah, I don't know. You never know what's going to happen there.
So if we get back to Rimax, you said 18 years now, is that
Yeah.
correct? So take me back to when you first got brought on, which was early aughts. That's kind of a, that's obviously a very interesting time for the US economy, the world writ large. How has the company itself really transformed over that time? Have you been in like a similar role, or have you kind of like changed your position over that time?
Well, so I've always run the sales side of the business. The way the company has evolved is obviously from a technical standpoint, it's light years from when I first joined because of the tools that are available. Obviously, AI is going to be the next thing in terms of what's the next wave of how we're going to be doing programs and stuff. So, we saw a lot of resources poured into that, which is a big deal. I think the other thing is that we found that the redemption of the products is very much tied into the economy and what's going on. And so I know we've talked in the past with you that, obviously during COVID, you couldn't get anybody to redeem a suitcase because who was traveling, but yet everybody wanted to eat better or they wanted exercise. Now we're seeing, because of the cost of things, tariffs have definitely impacted the consumer because it increased prices. And now, of course, the gas, and 5 years from now, if anybody looks at this, it may all sound foolish, but I mean, gas is very, very expensive. And so you look at again, what is it that the recipient really wants? And so I think we're a much better marketing company over the last 18 years and understanding that. I think the broad range of products that we offer is very eclectic and pretty much in every silo you can imagine. And the key again is choice, is to let people decide what they want. I'm a firm believer that, you can't anticipate exactly what everybody wants. Let them choose it. And they may have different needs for different reasons. And so I think that's the biggest change over the last 18 years that I've been here. We have a very, very aggressive group in merchandising and buying. The good news for us is that we have a lot of brands that actually come to us that want us to represent them because they know the programs that we're in. And that's a good place to be, that brands come to us. And we try to go and be as diverse as possible. And the thing is that brands have a much shorter life cycle than they did previously. The SKUs, might only have a shelf life of, let's say, 5 or 6 months, and some brands fall out of favor. So you really got to be on top of all that stuff. And so I think we've done a really good job at that. I think that's how we've maintained our premier position in this segment of the business.
Well, you really read my mind because that was actually going to be my next question was, does it ever feel like it's like you're kind of fighting, not maybe not fighting against, but it's difficult in the sense that you're having to keep up with not only the industry that you're servicing, right, whatever the trends in gaming are or in finance or whatever, but also you have to keep up with the products and companies that you are, working with. So does it feel like at some point you're like really racing to try to stay current with everything that's going on? Because I feel like that's an exa that's your guys's world is an example of something where if you are behind or if you do misjudge a trend or if you keep a product or a company on for too long or too short, then it could really have like a meet some immediate impact or some immediate like, oh no, you know what I mean? So does it feel like you're always kind of fighting against those currents?
So I'm going to use a much different adjective. I think it's exhilarating.
Okay, gotcha.
And the reason why I think it's exhilarating is because you have to stay on your game.
Sure.
Again, it goes back to my opening statement about where I started. You're not the market leader, right? So even here, you have to say, listen, as strong as Apple is, there's still going to be a product that's going to be counter to that, that people are going to want, or any other category that's there. So I think that it keeps your mind fresh. I think it keeps people engaged. I always say that, like right now, I want to listen to more Gen Z, millennial, groups because they're plugged into social media. Again, very old reference, but well, I don't want to use that reference. But I always say that when you see, somebody wearing something at the supermarket, it's kind of post-peak already. You want to be there as it's starting the incline. And so to look at what's happening, whether it's the Met Gala, what were the people wearing? What were the brands that were featured? The Oscars, the same thing. What's trending on social media? Who are some of these influencers? I'm really not a huge fan of influencers, but you know what I'm saying in terms of like, where's the buzz? And then see if it fits. And if it fits, then great. The thing is, you don't want to take a lot of risk and just buy a ton of product and bring it in your warehouse and wind up sitting there like, well, what am I going to do with it? It has to come against the expectation of sales or guaranteed sales that are coming in there. So we're pretty shrewd from that standpoint. But no, I love it. I love the fact that I'll see a commercial or a brand and I'll be like, what's that all about? Then have the group look into it. Is this something that we should be doing? It's fun.
This is something that I've wanted to ask you for a long time, but in terms of the all, so if you think back to all the years and all the seasons and all the trends and things of all the products that you guys have partnered with, companies you partnered with, is there any one? Well, I'll ask it like this: what is there any company or and or product that comes to your mind as being like the all time like this thing has just like completely become our best seller, or it's just year after year after year, this thing holds up. And do you have something that you personally may like, you know what I mean? Like if you, Paul, the consumer, was there one thing, or is there one thing in your mind where like, man, I love that. Or, you know what I mean? So what would be your answer?
It's a great question. So this industry was built primarily on electronics,
Okay.
and was built primarily on logoed stuff. What we have seen the greatest success in, I'm going to clump it together, is in fashion. Fashion, we were the first ones really to bring it on board. the major brands and brands that actually were just emerging. I mean, Michael Kors, when we first brought it on board, was not a huge brand. Now whether it's Michael Kors or Tory Burch or some of these other brands that we have, that's become really pretty fascinating because it's sort of recession-proof. It goes against both demographics because even if a male is redeeming it for his wife or his girlfriend, it makes sense. There's a cycle to it in terms of seasonality, color trends, things like that. Whereas TVs, like TVs have fallen off dramatically over the last 5, 6 years because everyone pretty much upgraded to a flat screen TV and to a smart TV. And so even the, you know, you had the Rokus that were in between to kind of make your old TV a smart TV and all that. Roku's still out there, obviously. But, so you don't see the demand for that as much. So that category is the category that probably has been the most surprising in terms of its growth and the number of brands that we carry now. And it really does well going back to the economic situation or any kind of, variables that impact the consumer. It kind of holds up real well. So that would be the category. As for me personally, I'm a watch guy. I'm a watch guy. I may be the only person that does not have a smartwatch.
Sure.
I'm actually more of a real watch guy. I have way too many. My wife will tell you that. She'll tell you that. Sneakers, those are two things. But she can't really complain because her closet looks like Nordstrom's based on what she brings home.
Sure.
So, so I'm again in the fashion category, I'm a watch guy.
Well, that's fascinating. And for our listeners, I promise I will not. I'm a huge watch guy myself, so we could go off on a whole other tangent, but I promise I won't. But is there any, and you don't have to, name any company if you don't want that. You could pass on it. But conversely, is there any product or product line or trend that you think back and you're like, man, that was just something that just didn't hit. We took a risk. We thought, it looked good and or it seemed good.
I'll tell you exactly.
Sure.
The Mariah Carey Swarovski Christmas ornament.
Okay, gotcha.
I
That's
thought that was
very
going to be
oddly
the biggest.
specific.
So yeah, and I'm sure I just annoyed Swarovski. They're very good. They saw a lot of good stuff where
Sure,
they
sure. But
these nights.
what about that in
The
particular
bomb.
just didn't hit, yeah.
I mean, she's aligned with Christmas,
Yeah.
and they have the ornament that comes out, and it's always a limited edition, and it was Mariah Carey, and I was like, oh, this is a grand slam. And sorry, Mariah, we couldn't give it away.
As it happens, right? There's a lot, as with any industry, there's a lot of, not every article that I write is the best thing that's
Yeah.
ever come out of my desk,
No, absolutely.
so that's funny. That's interesting.
Yeah.
One
See, I
other
bet you
thing,
weren't expecting a real answer like that, were you?
honestly, I appreciate it. I respect it. And you know what? It takes leadership to acknowledge, whenever there's a mistake, right? One thing I've always been fascinated with you is what is your road schedule these days? Are you still pounding the pavement as hard as I'm assuming you probably were in years past and decades past? I mean, where in the world is Paul Gordon these days?
Well, I'm in New Jersey right now. The last 6 weeks, I was in Memphis, Tampa, San Diego, Las Vegas, Atlantic City. So, yeah, no,
Wow.
I still like to be out there. I think that, I think all business is still relationship business.
Sure.
And I think that I enjoy it, number one. But I also think it's important to be out and to see things in real time. I think if you're building a player loyalty program, every casino I ever walk into, I immediately enroll in the player loyalty program. I want to see the emails that are coming out there. I want to see what the offers are. I want to see, what they're doing, even if they're not even going to be a potential customer. I mean, they may do things that aren't really in our wheelhouse. I think it's important to walk the floor. I think it's important to see, what it's like on a Wednesday night, what it's like on a Saturday night. And so, yeah, I'm out there and I still enjoy it. So, and I think it's what's kept my marriage together is that, I'm very rarely home and she's happy, so it kind of works that way.
Happy or healthy and absent, right? Those are the two
She's
qualities.
got a dog. The dog is her favorite. The kids are older, but the dog is her favorite, so she's okay.
Do you have a particular particular place or particular region in the country that you most like to travel to, like to visit?
So in the casino world is Vegas.
Sure.
I mean, as a kid, I grew up watching the fights in Vegas. I grew up, watching the variety shows that were there, The very first show, and I know you're born a little bit after, or a little bit before 2000, but the very first time I went out there, I went to see Dean Martin,
Sure.
who was playing at the MGM, not the MGM that everybody knows, it was with Bally's. That's when you could tip the maitre d' and sit front row, and Dino came out and he did his thing, and I loved it. And I loved the fact that it still had that old school Vegas. Still there, the Sands was still there. The Dunes was where the Bellagio is, and so I really liked it. When I was a kid, and Atlantic City finally got casino gambling, when I was just about the age to get in there, you needed a sport coat to get in there. Now people go in t-shirts and shorts and their hat backwards and all that kind of stuff. I loved that whole vibe, and I really enjoyed it. I liked the properties. I liked the people. I like everything that it offers. So I never get tired. I always tell people that it's one of the few places that when I'm there, if I had to spend an extra day, I'd be like, yeah, that's fine. Where pretty much anywhere else, that extra day is like, oh, I can't believe I'm going to do another day here. So I would say Vegas.
That's interesting, and I think I say this semi often where I think it's important, and I think I'm being very authentic when I say this, but it's me being a younger person who's just coming into the industry in its current iteration, which is obviously very different than previous iterations. I think it's really valuable to have that those remembrances or those experiences of those times past when it was different, and things, because that's obviously what the foundation of what those markets are now built on and what they've grown off of. And it's important that that we keep those feelings alive, because the feelings nowadays for people like myself coming into the industry now probably aren't the same. We have our own, it's different, as it always is different, but those real golden peak eras of those markets really is what has, in my opinion, set the stage for them to grow to the point that they are today. So I think it's important to.
And I also think that, particularly in Vegas, because there was a time it was really just Vegas and Atlantic City, and then of course, Foxwoods started to pop up and some other places like Seminole. But it was a fantasy for everyone. It was a place that you could go and sort of be someone else, and you could eat at great restaurants, and you could dress up on a Saturday night. And there's something to that, and you don't want to come off as that old guy, like, oh, I miss those days, but. I hate to see a guy walk into a restaurant with a hat on backwards, or go into a show and wearing shorts and flip-flops. You're a grown-up. Dress, play the part. That's part of what this is all about. And I think the casinos, when they capture a little bit of that essence, it continues to elevate it and continues to make it aspirational. It doesn't need to be expensive. I mean, back in those days, a buffet was $3.99 or prime rib was $3.99 or whatever. So it wasn't a matter that it was expensive, but there was an allure to it. And I think that, you need to do that. You mentioned something again about when you were growing up in Reno and how it was a community place. We were talking about that. The other community place, they were malls. The malls are fading. It's just not, it's not what it used to be. And so I think that, keep it aspirational. Keep it classy to a certain extent. I know I sound like Ron, who's the guy, you know I'm talking about. But and make it someplace that people want to be at and be with. And I think that, it has a bright future. And I think that the online gambling, this younger demographic that really has embraced it, will move into the brick and mortar. And enjoy that experience. And hopefully it's there for years and years to come.
Certainly, certainly. Well, this has been really great. I've had a ton of fun doing this. Like I said, I love these more human interest stories. I do have one more,
Go ahead.
and this one I really saved the best for last year. But I've known you for years. Never have I seen you without an amazing hair day going on. So my question is, what is, if you can divulge, which I won't begrudge, but what is the official Paul Gordon hair regimen? Are there any tips and tricks out there for anybody who might want? Because it's really great, if I'm being honest with you. And
Well, I do appreciate that. I did have one of the girls that worked for me accuse me of using a curling iron. That's not true. That's not true. There's not a whole lot that needs to be done to this.
Sure.
It's like a chia pet. You shake it out, you dry it, it works out pretty well. I mean, more and more, I do look at that Just for Men in the shelf every once in a while and think, do I make that leap? I don't know. But Yeah, listen, I'm lucky I have it. It might be the last good thing that I have going for me, but I'll try to hold on to it as long as possible.
You know, it's funny. I always think back when I was in high school, I used to get in trouble from my shop teacher for wearing a hat. And I remember one day he walks up to me and he just looks at me, and I knew I was he was going to tell me to take it off or whatever. And he just looks at me, he stops, he looks at me, and he was bald, and he said, "You know, for everybody, for all the guys like me out there in the world who wishes for one second that I could switch heads with you, you would think you might as well take the hat off and let everybody see it." You know what I mean? And I have thought about that comment for I think about that all the time. And like I said, I'm one to appreciate a good head of hair out there when I see one.
I do appreciate that. And the reason why maybe I'm anti-hats is if I put one on, I have to be committed to it the rest of the day because
Sure,
I take
me
it off
too, me too. Yeah, me
and I
too.
look like a cockatoo or something. It's not going to be pretty. So, yeah.
Me too. All right. Well, this has been great, Paul. I'm sure I will talk soon, and we'll probably have much more serious and other
Oh, great.
topics to talk to in the future. But this has been great. Thanks for
Yeah,
the call.
it's always great to talk to Jesse. Thanks.
We thank you for joining us on this episode of the GGP Podcast. To learn more about Paul Rimax and all things gaming, head to ggbmagazine.com. Don't miss an episode of the GGP Podcast by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.